I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see. If ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we.
Good morning and welcome to EcoTalk. We have another interesting show lined up for you. Our first guest is the producer, director, and writer of a brand new documentary called The Fire Next Time, which is now having its premiere airing on public television. The film is about how rapid growth, media extremism, and all kinds of other factors are fueling political tensions in a small town in Montana. And I'm very pleased to have in studio with me Patrice O'Neill. We'll get to that in just a moment. In our second half hour, we'll be learning about a new boycott that is against the Exxon Oil Company. You might imagine why that's underway. And for more on that, we'll be talking to the head of the Union of Concerned Scientists. But first, Patrice, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
You actually live and work in the Bay Area.
I do.
Nice to know you're among us. Yes, all kinds of great green people out there. This documentary took quite a while to make, and what was behind going to this town, Kalispell, Montana, in Flathead Valley?
I originally went there because we were contacted by a former police officer who had recently moved to Kalispell, who was concerned about some things she'd heard on the radio. She contacted us because we had done a film 10 years ago called Not in Our Town. It was about how the community in Billings, Montana had resisted the white supremacist movement and intolerance in their community. That story became a national model, and communities around the country started using it. It's 10 years later, and they're still using it. So she wanted to show the film and start an anti-hate movement. It wasn't until a domestic terror cell, you might call them, or a militia movement was uncovered with a huge cache of weapons and ostensibly a hit list for many of the cops, judges, prosecutors in the town, and their families was uncovered, that people in the town decided they needed to come together. And they did, and that's how we first entered the scene in Kalispell.
Now, I did get to preview the documentary, and it's a beautiful town. Locals used to call it the last best place on Earth, or in America anyway. That's Kalispell. When you started digging beneath the surface, what did you find?
We found a whole confluence of conflicts in this community. Again, we thought we were doing a pretty straightforward story about the community resisting hate violence. But then we uncovered deep, deep divisions over the environment, over forest policy, over natural resources, a community that was growing so rapidly. In the 3 years that I've been traveling there, almost every time I went, there was a new superstore or a new subdivision. And I can imagine how that would feel if you had lived there all your life. The Whitefish Lake was suddenly surrounded by houses with gates on them, and the real estate prices were going up.
Probably a lot of people with money trying to get away from this kind of thing in California and elsewhere, moving there maybe just for second homes.
Absolutely. People from our part of the country taking their real estate income and moving to a place that's less expensive, and then the locals can't afford to live there anymore. So a whole variety of conflicts about the schools, about the role of government. And
what to do about the forests it's surrounded by?
It is surrounded by almost 96% of the land surrounding the valley is either national forest, state forest, or privately held land for timber.
Wow. It's a beautiful place, but one particular disc jockey came to town and made it not so pretty. Tell us about that.
Well, a man named John Stokes had moved from the state of Washington to the Flathead Valley, and in 2000 bought a radio station.
Bought a radio station. It must be cheaper than they are in San Francisco.
Yes, I think so. I don't know if the average person could do that here. And I'm not sure that John is the average person. But
and maybe today it would cost more because of this.
Right. So he began as, I think, what many people would call a community radio station. People who hadn't had a voice in the town could suddenly call him up and talk. But what you could see over a period of time was that anger was the central focus of the programs. And I think it's fair to say that he helped whip that up. And people were very upset about the changes in the economy, about what was going on, deep divisions on the environment. And he Sometimes things were about race. It was interesting to watch sort of the history. At first, there were discussions about race. There was some anti-Semitic remarks. And then when he started talking about the environment, it really clicked. It just, people were so upset. And they were, again, I think, really then focused on individuals in the community who were leading environmentalists. And they began to say their names regularly on the air. And it created this very intimidating atmosphere in the community for environmentalists.
Some very disturbing images, including the burning of a green swastika. What prompted that?
Right. Well, John Stokes says that his perspective...
His name is John Stokes. He stoked it. It's like he inflamed all this. And the movie is called The Fire Next Time. I'm seeing some themes here.
Right. Well,
but you didn't make this up.
No, you can't make this up. So he believes that the environmental movement emerged from the Third Reich. I'm sure your listeners would be really interested in that.
They?
And so there's this twisting and use of words. It's really interesting where you take something that everyone can agree we disagree with, the Nazis, right? Everybody, across the board, pretty much. Well, there's a few maybe still left. Right. But and then you add, you know, who you consider to be the enemy, the Greens. You put them together, Green Nazis, and it clicked. It worked really well. In fact, I've heard this on talk radio in other parts of the country, and it'll be interesting to see if any of your other listeners have heard this label spread. But that seemed to work really well, and so they used the symbol of the swastika, painted it green, and then burned it in this really kind of eerie demonstration that they had in front of the radio station.
Well, as a Jew and an environmentalist, I was watching that with my husband and daughter last night, and I felt nauseous, literally, watching that. I think anybody would, but it just, so disturbing. And this DJ was calling for the eradication of green slime.
Green slime.
What's his definition of that?
Well, we heard this a whole number of times, is that the environmentalists are the enemy. And they need to be annihilated. And exactly what that means
is... This would be funny if it wasn't so scary.
Right. I actually tried to dig in and understand a variety of perspectives in the community, which, I think we could have done a different doc and just said, okay, the environmentalists are under siege. We have to deal with this. And I think part of the film is really a warning about that we have to pay attention to this. Grist Online has done a really interesting investigation into how environmentalists are now being called terrorists. And I think it's something that people should look into. It's an interesting article. But I wanted to understand where the anger was coming from and try to talk to people on both sides. And, you know, there are deep divisions in this country. Our worldviews are so different about what to do about the forest. And I think that we have really stopped listening to each other. And that creates, I think, some anger in people who feel that they don't have a voice and that they've been shut out of the process. And that their livelihoods are utterly threatened. And so, you know, I tried to get a handle on this. It was deeply disturbing. I think that if you walk away from this film and think, oh, the Flathead Valley, I want to stay away from there, you'll be completely missing the point. It is a beautiful place filled with great people. It is like maybe more dramatic, but like many, many places in this country where our divisions are becoming sharper and sharper and where we sort of refuse to listen to each other anymore. And I made this film as a warning about that and encourage people to really listen to each other in a new way.
One of the many emotional moments is when a mother who was a former police officer who really spearheaded this effort to bring people together, her daughter's life was threatened. I mean, someone tried to kill her. And then it showed her teaching her daughters how to use guns, and one of the daughters broke down. I mean, I was sitting there hugging my daughter and just anticipating, God forbid, in a few years having to do that with her. Man, that's upsetting stuff. That's real life at risk.
I think it's a story about how democracy can break down and how we think that this kind of thing can't happen here, that we're, you know, we're established, we all go vote. And
we're more reasonable than that.
Yes, exactly. And when I think one of the things you were able to see in this town is how this combination of anger and fear can really break things down, can break into the fabric of town life. Because what happens is that the people who aren't necessarily activists become disengaged. And they say, look, I don't want my name read on the radio. I don't want my family threatened. I'm going to disengage. I'm going to pull
out. Who can blame them? I mean, when their family's threatened?
Totally understandable. And I think you saw that from some of the other families in the film.
Mm. When we come back after the next break, we'll talk about some of the reactions now that the documentary is starting to be shown. It is called The Fire Next Time. We are in conversation with Patrice O'Neill, and she is the filmmaker behind this very disturbing but important piece of work. You're listening to EcoTalk on Air America Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back. To Eco Talk, and we were having a conversation about a new documentary called The Fire Next Time. It's about a community in the Flathead Valley in Montana. A place called Kalispell used to be called the last best place in America, but how that town may become the next worst flashpoint in the country's running battle between the forces of economic development, growth, environmental activism, and anti-government extremism. Pleased to have Patrice O'Neill, the filmmaker, with me in studio. Is this a microcosm of what is going on, or is this just sort of the worst case scenario in a smaller place physically?
Well, I really became engrossed in this film and this story because I did see it as a microcosm. It's maybe more dramatic than what's happening in other parts of the country, but I think if you look at this one place over a short period of time, you can see some of the really burning issues that are being felt across the country. That's why I made it.
I must say, you know, focusing in on the family who the father had been working at the mill for 25 years or something, how they felt their livelihoods were being threatened. What exactly did they really think the environmental regulations were going to put them out of business, or why did they feel so life and death threatened?
Yes, and I think to a certain extent changes in environmental regulation has had an effect on logging, on the economy there. Of course, there are many other forces at play here. There's NAFTA, for example. There's, you know, trade rules. There's, we're getting our lumber from places where people are paid $1 an hour to cut down trees and where it's less expensive to get them. So there's a whole group of forces at play. But, you know, again, you add in this the role of the media in saying the real problem here is the environmentalists, and they are personally responsible for the loss of your livelihood. I think that message, if you hear it over and over again, you start to believe it. And I think that's one of the things that was happening in that town.
It's interesting because we are a nation divided, supposedly, you know, into red and blue states. And the slogan for EcoTalk on Air America is greening the red and blue states one show at a time, because our environment, as I always say, is what the air out there is now the air in my lungs 2 seconds later, is a concern to all of us. We're all in the same boat. And yet, if this documentary did nothing else, it showed how that certainly is not bringing people together. You keep waiting for a breakthrough as you're watching the documentary. There were several people who were sort of the voice and face of reason. Keith Hammer was one of them, labeled the environmentalist. And the other one was on the council, the city council, Ray, somebody. Were they not able in the end to bring people together? Because they seem to understand some of the emotions behind all this and yet speak in a very fair and reasoned voice.
Well, I think that there are many people in the Valley who have been struggling to try to bring people together. Keith is considered by many to be a radical environmentalist. I don't think he would characterize himself in that way. But
radicals in the eye of the beholder, of course.
Right, right. And, you know, people like Scott Dahmiller would be considered a radical anti-environmental extremist.
He's the logger. Yeah.
He works in a lumber mill. And I, you know, I tried to get beyond that and say, who are these men as people, and what do they care about? And, you know, let's listen to them. Let's listen to what they're passionate about and try to hear each other in a new way. And I guess what was most gratifying to me was there is no real resolution to this story, just like there's no real resolution to these problems in our country. But we decided to take the film back to the Valley way before broadcast and have people talk about it. We went with a woman who had done a lot of community reconciliation work in New Mexico, and we worked with some facilitators up there and did a whole series of screenings in the Valley, and it was remarkable. People got together and talked to each other in these roundtable discussions and said, what do we do now? How do we get together? And they started really some citizen-based problem solving. And there had been some people who had been operating for quite a while in the Valley trying to do that as well. So now there's a new group called Flathead on the Move, and they're working towards, you know, how do we grow as a community in a way where we take, you know, we take our citizens' concerns very seriously. And I was really excited by that. And that's really, I think, inspired the next step for us. Our company, The Working Group, what we do is we try to do television that makes people talk to each other. And with the Not in Our Town movement, we learned that if you bring a film into a community and say, okay, how does this relate to your life and your community life? Then people do it, and they do their own problem solving. And that's what we'd like to do with The Fire Next Time, is encourage these kinds of discussions with the film all over the country.
And if people cannot access the film, is there a website, I imagine, where people can take part, perhaps order the video, or maybe even watch it online?
Yes. In fact, I encourage people to go to the POV website. It's pbs.org/POV, the independent film series, and then you / The Fire Next Time. It's a really wonderful discussion going on in the web now about some of these issues. And if you'd like to create a community discussion, we'd be happy to engage you. That's info@theworkinggroup.org.
And we will put a link up on our website, which is www.ecotalk.net. And we thank you for doing this important work. And what's your next project?
A new Not in Our Town film.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. Patrice O'Neill, she's with a group called The Working Group. They did, the first film was Not in Our Backyard, and this one, The Fire Next Time. I highly encourage you to see it. Talk to your family and friends about it. It really shows some of the problems we're facing as Americans right now, but also, hopefully, the potential for solutions for coming together, because after all, there's just one planet, just one country, just one town we all live in, right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to Eco Talk on Air America Radio.